WWIP on a 15 below morning this Monday. I heard talk of that it was 17 below yesterday. Really, to be honest with you folks, I cover the weather so much that when I'm not here, I don't pay a lot of attention. Jason Kanz, good morning.
Good morning.
15 below, how you feeling?
Currently warm. Not real eager to leave the house later on, but I didn't leave the house yesterday. That's not true. I had coffee in the morning and then said I'm not leaving again, and I didn't. So,
how about your ice bath? How's that? Have you had those since I told you about that the other day?
I have not. I've got a couple of friends who are doing that, and I still think it's really silly. But
you do. You do have a couple of friends. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
I understand it's a trend now, and I think it's supposed to be good for you physically, but I think for me, the emotional stress of having to climb into an ice bath would be take years off my life.
Now, on the other hand, I mean, I guess it has, since hearing the talk I did on Thursday night from Jason Kirsten of Kirsten Family Junk Removal, and he said he'd done it every day last year, and I think, posted it on TikTok or whatever, and for like 200 days, and then he realized a lot of other people are doing it too. But it's made me think about, they talked about maybe do a cold shower, but he said that's even harder, so I don't know.
Huh. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know either.
All right.
I'll stick with my warm shower this morning.
So apparently they thought it was going to be too cold. I heard the temperature like high teens, low 20s in D.C., but they moved the inauguration indoors. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I know that's been a bit of a controversy out there as well, is kind of the moving it indoors and people who had been hoping to go to the inauguration can't. And so,
I heard some of NPR on the way in, and Steve Inskeep had spent time with Steve Bannon on Friday when that news broke. And so Bannon was quite critical, and he said, are the tech oligarchs too soft? So he kind of put it on that. So,
huh, interesting.
I find it interesting to observe the infighting on Team Trump. It's kind of
new sport. I think I think whenever you have get a large team, that sort of thing seems to happen.
Uh-huh.
But it's frustrating. You know, it'd be nice if as Americans we could work together, even within the same group. But
I mean, obviously, that even in a marriage, people don't agree on everything, right? So
well, we do.
Okay. That's wonderful for you.
Yeah, it's super nice. It's been great to not ever disagree on anything.
Man, that's good.
Yeah.
Well,
just so people know I'm kidding.
It is inauguration day, but it's also, I guess, kind of maybe overshadowing Martin Luther King Day. So let's remember MLK with this clip.
I have a dream.
I would say we've made progress since that speech, but we still haven't arrived, probably.
You know, I think the certainly seeing less racism, but there's still spots of that happening. The judging people by the content of their character, I don't know how well we're doing that. But, I think definitely continuing to strive towards welcome, inclusion, love for other people, even if they don't look or think like we do.
And we close it out with Acts 10:36-43. Now, you read those verses on Friday, but here's your take from Letters to the Beloved. You say Peter was summarizing all the things they had heard about Jesus. People shared the news by word of mouth, and Peter wanted to make sure they were on the same page. Messages can easily get distorted through word of mouth, so hearing from the source is beneficial. Peter continued, we were there. I saw him do all these things about which you have heard. He ministered in the countryside, in the city. We also witnessed the Romans put Jesus to death by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him to life 3 days later. He did not appear to everyone, but those of us God chose as witnesses. We ate and drank with him after his resurrection. He instructed us to tell people about him and his kingdom and let people know that he's the one God appointed as judge over all creation. It is this Jesus about whom all the prophets wrote, listen, everyone who believes in him is forgiven and welcome. Finally, you close with this. Peter wanted them to understand that when they heard about Jesus was, what they heard about Jesus was no mere myth. It was objectively true, and he was an eyewitness. He wanted them to know they were welcome with Jesus. Final thought.
Yeah, I mean, that notion of welcome fits again. I think when we live in a society where there's so much division, what does it look like to become people of welcome, people of inclusion, people of love? Just to think about that as we're going into this new season again.
Very good. Thank you, friend. Have a good day. Stay warm, please. Stay warm today.
The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat.
That's pretty much where we can stop it right now, because we're talking to Drew Frelick from Detroit, Michigan. The agony That's of it. Defeat for the Lions. Yeah. Drew, what happened?
Yeah, so that's a hilarious clip. Very nostalgic.
Yes.
I guess I'll start off by saying, so I was at the game.
Yeah. First and only Lions game you've ever been to.
The only Lions game I've ever been to. I guess I'll start off by saying, I feel like yesterday got a little bit weird. I had a lot of people texting me, and they were like, you know, I'm so sorry for your loss.
Okay.
It felt like someone had died, and I don't feel that way. I'm expecting people to send flowers this week. You know,
it's really
getting very serious. I'm like, guys, it's just football.
Yeah, right.
Calm down. But can I say, I kind of felt like they were going to lose when I watched them warming up.
Huh.
Because, and I texted my brother, I go, dude, I don't think they're going to win. I'm watching them warm up right now. And everybody was so relaxed.
Huh.
And that's a very un-Lions thing, you know. The players seem so relaxed. The fans seem so relaxed. Everything was just way too
because,
relaxed.
Because, you know, the idea that you'd pounded Minnesota, you'd had the week off. Hey, we made it to the NFC title game last year. This is our year.
Yeah, everybody felt so relaxed. And then they started losing. And it was still so relaxed. Everyone's like, yeah, but, you know, they're going to come back and win it. And then they just didn't. You know? It's just like, it was just, there was no urgency.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like Washington was just ready to just fight somebody.
Huh.
And the whole city just had lulled itself into thinking, we're just going to do this. It's not a problem.
Yeah.
And that's not how the NFL works, you know. It's a fight.
Yeah, for sure.
So that was interesting.
Yeah. Well, let's transition to, the NFC North, as good as it was all year, we're all completely out. So there we go.
I know. Now we can finally go ice fishing.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, just want to transition, because you're a stand-up comic and pastor. You do the joke gym there at your church in Ferndale on Wednesdays. And you got a special joke night, I think, coming up for just pastors. But this is the thing is, in terms of Bob Uecker, the two things about his passing, about his humor, actor, I mean, whether he did stand-up or not, I mean, the guy was a walking stand-up. But, I mean, I wanted to just get your take on his the deadpan expression and also his self-deprecating humor. So good at it.
I mean, it's just classic.
Yeah.
You know? It's just classic. And the thing about self-deprecating, it just puts everybody at ease.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's just like, you can kind of relax. All right, this guy's not taking himself too seriously.
Yeah.
So whatever comes out of his mouth, we cannot take it too seriously.
Right.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Appreciate him.
And then also, I think, you know, so many comedians, in terms of delivering, it doesn't matter if he's on Carson or whatever, just the deadpan, right? Whereas, I don't know, if I see a comedian, like, laugh at his own stuff, that always kind of, I don't get that.
Oh, that's definitely a faux pas. Yeah, you can't laugh at your own jokes. That's a big thing now.
Uh-huh.
And there's like this whole debate in the comedy community.
But okay.
Yeah, that's a faux pas.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Yeah.
And you can't be up there cracking yourself up.
Right,
when
no
one
else
is laughing.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so,
Drew, I know you've written something on the kind of the Lions' loss. Where can people find that at drewfrelick.com?
Yeah, it's right there on the front page. A little bit of therapy.
All right.
A little bit of putting my therapist hat on.
All right. Yep. Very good. Thank you, Drew. Appreciate it. All right, the Wib Week Up Show. Weekend recap here. It's very cold, 15 to 16 below this morning. And over the weekend, I watched some of the KC Houston NFL game. Other ones I kept track of. The NFC North is out. So what's up with that?
Yeah.
We were supposed to be so good, so strong. I really thought it was going to be like Minnesota Detroit or something in the NFC Championship game. I did some work on the Chippewa Valley this week. Program, which you can catch if you missed it yesterday after 5 here on WIP, the podcast featuring Eau Claire artist Heidi Schreiner. Her art is in an exhibit at the library on the 3rd floor through March 3rd. It's called Eau Claire Near and Farm. A lot of her inspiration coming from the farmer's market, so check that out. And also, Caught some of you doing that McDonald Bloomer game on Saturday, kind of a low-scoring boys game there.
Yeah, it was very competitive, too. I'd say low scoring, not because of lack of talent, but because of extreme effort on defense, which was, again, great to see. Man, did a game Friday night. McDonald girls, Eau Claire Regis. Eau Claire Regis won that one pretty handily. They looked really good. And then Bloomer and McDonald just went right down to the wire at the end. Bloomer got it the best of the McDonald boys on that one, and really enjoyed doing that game from Bloomer. Appreciated their help hosting us, and of course we're live streaming on our new WOGO Sports YouTube channel, so appreciated Sam being along with to make sure that we got that up and running smoothly. So so basketball Friday night and Saturday afternoon, coaching basketball on Saturday morning, and you know what? I have to say our team, we're calling ourselves the Red Raiders because we weren't given a name, just red jerseys.
Uh-huh.
So we're calling ourselves, Red Dragons, okay. Guys, Red Dragons.
My high school was the Red Raiders.
Raiders is different. So the Red Dragons.
That's cool, Red Dragons.
Yeah, we had a good time on Saturday morning. We were much improved from the week before. The kids had fun, and I did as well, too. So we enjoyed that, kept track of some football, watched some football here and there. Had a little one who was not feeling well on Sunday morning, so we were able to watch the church live stream and snuggle in a little bit more at home, and got some errands run on Sunday, and also did a lot of walking in the house, kind of back and forth, trying to get some steps in over the weekend while avoiding the extreme cold.
Yeah, I hear you. Too long dog walk on Saturday for me, but much shorter on Sunday. Make Us Laugh Monday. This is Three Jokes Apiece for Caleb and I. I'll get things rolling on this 16 below Monday, January 20th. How cold is it? It's so cold that when we let our mini poodle outside, he turned into a popsicle.
Oh, man.
There you go. Well, I don't necessarily have theme jokes because of the cold, but hopefully this can make somebody warm up a little bit, crack in a smile. How about, what do you call a one-legged hippo?
What?
A hoppo.
Okay.
My kids kind of like that
one. Yeah. Oh, boy, this I can relate. It was tough to scrape this morning. I almost have to get a sharper scraper. But, in fact, I tried to use my grocery store loyalty card to scrape my windshield, but I only got 20% off. That's pretty good.
I like that one. How about, what do you call an apology written in dots and dashes?
What?
Remorse code.
Okay. There you go. And finally this morning... Did you know, originally, they were going to make two Yogi Bears?
No.
Yeah, but they made a boo-boo.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. All right, and one final one for me. What's the difference between Aluminum Man and Iron Man? What's the difference between Aluminum Man and Iron Man?
What?
Well, Iron Man stops the villain, while Aluminum Man foils their plans.
Ah, there you go. Yes.
All right. We did what we could on a Monday morning. If you have a joke as well, 715-396-1670. The listener line always open for you. We're open to brand new music here on the WIB Wake Up Show. And our music director, Greg Stewart, said, hey, we've got a brand new tune right now from Taya. Take a listen. Let us know what you think.
Well, it's not only Martin Luther King Jr. Day, but it is Inauguration Day.
It is indeed, and it's going to be not as cold in D.C. as it is here, but still quite chilly.
Hence, they decided Friday they were moving things inside. Donald Trump set to be inaugurated as the 47th president of the nation about 11 o'clock today.
So Trump will be sworn in at noon Eastern time, reciting the oath of office administered by Chief Justice John Roberts. And again, as Halva mentioned, it'll be held indoors in the U.S. Capitol Rotunda because of the cold.
Yeah. He'll become the oldest person to be sworn in as president. 78 years, 7 months. His birthday's back in June. A great month to have a birthday. When sworn in 2021, Joe Biden was 78 years and 2 months.
Now, the youngest president to assume office was Theodore Roosevelt, who became president at 42 years and 322 days. That was September 14th, 1901, after the assassination of former President William McKinley. The youngest elected president, John F. Kennedy, inaugurated at 43 years and 236 days on January 20th of 1961.
That's interesting. I think a lot of people think Kennedy was the youngest. Grover Cleveland and Donald Trump share a unique distinction. What is it, Caleb?
Both served non-consecutive terms, making Cleveland the 22nd and 24th president, and President Trump the 45th and 47th. This also means fewer individuals have delivered inaugural addresses than the number of presidencies.
There you go. Not all inaugurations occurred in D.C. George Washington's first inauguration was in New York City in 1789, and his second was in Philadelphia in 1793. D.C. became the standard location, starting with Thomas Jefferson in 1801.
Also, William Henry Harrison had a record-breaking speech. He delivered the longest inaugural address, over 2 hours, in 1841, without wearing a coat or hat on a cold day. Sounds like a middle schooler. He died of pneumonia a month later, very sad, marking the shortest presidency in history.
We'll finish up with more inaugural information later on after 8:45 here on the WIB Wake Up Show, WWIB.
So first of all, let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror, which paralyzes needed effort to convert retreat into advance.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Again, initially there, we heard from FDR, Inauguration Day in the height of the Depression in 1933, and then, of course, JFK on this day in 1961.
And we have a few more, again, just little factoids for you, things about Inauguration Day that maybe you knew, maybe you didn't.
Uh-huh. Calvin Coolidge was sworn in by his father. After President Warren Harding's death in 1923, Coolidge was sworn in by his dad, a notary public, at their Vermont home by kerosene lamp at 2:47 in the morning.
Now, the coldest and warmest inaugurations, because, again, of course, the inauguration for President Trump moved inside because of cold temps. Ronald Reagan's second inauguration in 1985 was the coldest at 7 degrees, while his first in 1981 was the warmest at 55 degrees.
You never know. The last president to wear a top hat, John F. Kennedy, wore a top hat to his inaugural in 1961, but removed it during his oath and speech. This marked the end of a long-standing tradition.
A poet at the podium, John F. Kennedy invited poet Robert Frost to recite a poem at his inauguration, making him the first president to include poetry as part of the ceremony. Fascinating.
Of course, Biden had that 4 years ago as well. Yeah. And finally, technology milestones. Maybe we can alternate on these. James Buchanan's inaugural in 1857 was the first photograph.
William McKinley's in 1897 was the first film.
Calvin Coolidge's in 1925 was broadcast on radio.
Harry Truman's in 1949 aired on TV for the first time.
Kennedy's in 1961 was televised in color.
And Bill Clinton's inauguration in 1997 was the first one that was streamed online.
Huh. There you go.
Very, very fascinating. Again, Inauguration Day in D.C.